Today, I'm sharing some tactics for how to overcome self-doubt.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast 2, episode number 116. Thank you very much for listening today. As always, I appreciate your time and your attention. And today I want to give some advice and share some tips that I've used personally to overcome self-doubt. Now, if you want to read the corresponding blog post or get access to any of the links or videos that I'm going to mention today, you can find those at paulminers.com/116. Now, I want to talk about this topic, self-doubt. I feel like it's a really interesting topic because I think everyone can relate to it. Whether you're worried about an upcoming exam, a project at work, an important client, or even things in your personal life, your health, family, whatever it might be, we all often have to deal with self-doubt, and we often question ourselves and our abilities. And even the most successful, and you can't see me, but I'm doing hand quotes, successful people in the world, whatever that means, that even these successful people feel self-doubt. This is also known as imposter syndrome, you know, this feeling of fear that you get when you feel like people feel like you are better than you think you are, if that makes sense. Let me say that another way. You feel like you aren't as good as maybe people perceive you to be. And so there's this question of like, am I good enough coming in? So today I want to share some tactics and some stories for how to overcome self-doubt. This is very much based on my personal experience, but there's plenty more to discuss around this topic. These are just a few simple things that I'm talking about today. So I definitely want to hear from you. If you have any thoughts or experiences of your own that you're happy to share, then please head on over to my blog, paulminers.com/116, and share your tips and experience in the comments. I would love to hear from you. So the first thing that I think about or around this topic of how to overcome self-doubt is to remember, this is something I do, remember that someday you're going to die. I'm gonna let that sink in for a second. Remember that you're going to die. And whenever I'm not sure if I should do something, if I have an idea and I'm not sure if I should do it, I take a minute to think about my impending death and the simple fact that one day I'm not gonna be here anymore. And it's something I actually thought about before I quit my job back in 2016, and before we sold our house to go traveling. And even now, something I think about to make sure I don't waste my time. Now, I'm not a religious person, and I don't believe in any form of afterlife. And if you have different beliefs, that's absolutely fine. I'm not passing any judgment or saying what you should or shouldn't believe here. I'm just saying, me personally, I don't believe in any sort of afterlife. And so the image or feeling that I conjure up in my head is this feeling of falling asleep. And I think that's what death must be like. So when you fall asleep at night, you're not usually aware that you're sleeping. Sometimes you have dreams, yes, but more often than not, for most people, you know, you're just asleep. You have no consciousness, no awareness. And this is what I imagine death is like. It's very scary because it's like you don't even know you're dead. But actually, I suppose that's somewhat comforting as well. There's nothing to fear because when you're dead, you won't even kind of know it at the time. You won't be like, oh my God, I'm dead. That's my belief. That's my perception anyway. And it sounds morbid. So why would anyone think about death, and how does this at all help with self-doubt? Now, when you think about yourself or friends or family dying, you start to appreciate the life that you have right now. And for me, this is a real motivator to push past any self-doubt that I'm feeling to take action. Because I feel like, okay, if I've only got this one life, I'm going to die one day, forget self-doubt, I'm going to put all of that out of my head, and I'm just going to do whatever it is that I'm thinking of doing. And this idea of thinking about death is something I've come across since I've sort of dove into this world of Stoic philosophy. And the great thing about Stoicism is how practical this school of teaching is. After reading just a few books, like I'm not that well versed or read around Stoicism. I've just read a few books like The Obstacle is the Way and A Guide to the Good Life. And check out my blog, paulminers.com/116. You can get links to the summaries that I've written for these books. And just a few little books that I've read. And you can arm yourselves with some skills that you need to worry less, to deal with adversity, and just improve your overall happiness. And another example that I often think about when I think about death is, and I'm sure most people have seen this video already, but it is Steve Jobs' famous commencement speech at Stanford. And it's a video that has now been viewed over 31 million times. And in this video, Steve shares his experience dealing with death. And there's one line in particular that really stands out to me.
Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose.
And so to sum up this idea, I mean, I think Steve just put it perfectly. Remembering that you're going to die is such a motivator to really look at your life right now. And whatever self-doubt or fear that you're feeling right now, I think all of that just melts away when you remember you're going to die. And it really helps you to take action. And that leads me on to my second point, which is to get organized and start planning. You know, turn everything that you've put off from someday to today. So hopefully by now I've freaked you out enough to the point where you're motivated to start pushing past self-doubt or any fear that you're feeling. And now it's about taking action. You can take all these feelings that you've been putting off until someday and start working on them today. So this is an idea, actually. If you're a follower of Getting Things Done, the GTD method, you might be familiar with this idea of the someday list. And it's basically a list of ideas or projects that you'd like to pursue one day. And so if you have something like, I'd want to do this, not sure, I'll put it on my someday maybe list. But they're not really important right now. You're not really scheduling to work on them now or planning to do them now. You just put them on the someday maybe list. Now, this is an idea I've dabbled with in the past. There's even, you probably see videos of me in Asana. I had like a someday tag. Now, to be honest, it's not something I really do anymore. When I have an idea or if I have something I want to do, I will pretty much do one of two things. The first thing is, if I decide that I want to do it, I will set up a task or a project in Asana, and I start planning when I'm going to work on that project or that idea. And usually, I'll be starting to work on it within a few weeks or a month or so. It's really like, okay, I'm going to do it. Let's work out when I'm going to do it and how I'm going to execute on this project. Or the second option is, I decide I'm not going to do it. That's it. And when you adopt this mentality, every decision you make comes down to a simple decision between, am I going to do this? And if so, when? There's no middle ground. And I think actually having a someday list can be dangerous, as it creates, a distraction, because you're now thinking, oh, am I working on the right thing? There's all these, there's all this stuff on my someday list. Maybe I should do one of those things. And it distracts you from the really important, often critical, you know, work and deep work that we should be doing. And the other thing is, I think it actually helps, makes us feel sometimes inadequate, because you look at this list of all this stuff that you haven't done that you want to do, and you kind of feel like, oh my God, I haven't done this stuff, and you feel kind of defeated. And I can't tell you how often I work with clients who have task lists with hundreds, literally hundreds of ideas and to-dos on them, and all these things that they'd like to do, but they're not important right now, so they just go on their task list, and they end up feeling just overwhelmed, and that's when the self-doubt creeps in. And if I haven't planned to work on something in the next few days or weeks, I don't worry about storing it as an idea for later. If it's really important or if it's a really good idea, it'll come up again later. I'll just keep thinking about it. I don't need to remember writing it down. And this means I can really focus on the things that really matter, and I'm not distracted by all this other stuff. So when you come across an idea or have something you really want to work on that you've been putting off, start planning and just work out, when are you going to do this thing? Turn someday into today. So it's simple. You just need to take simple steps, like, number one, plan out all the little things you need to do for that idea, that project. Get all your ideas out of your head and put them in a notebook, you know, either a digital or a physical notebook. Maybe you could use a mind map, whatever method you prefer. And think about and list them in the order in which you need to complete these different tasks and ideas. And then you can start to actually schedule time and work out, when are you going to work on these different steps. And so just taking a few small, simple steps helps you to make a start putting all these things into a plan. So instead of working on them, you know, someday maybe, you've now got a plan about when to start on them. And the great thing is when you have a little plan, when you make just a small start, that creates a snowball effect of progress, which will quickly allow you to work on the project a lot more efficiently. This episode of the Paul Miners Podcast is sponsored by Gusto. Now, if you run a small business like me, or you know someone who does, you probably know that business owners have to wear a lot of hats. And some of those hats are totally great. For example, making this podcast. But some, like filing taxes and running payroll, for example, are not so great. And that's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits and even 401ks for your team. Now, those old-school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the modern way that small businesses work, but Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. listeners can get their first 3 months free when they file their first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/pool. That's gusto, gusto.com/pool. And thank you, Gusto, for sponsoring this episode of the Pool Miners podcast. So my third key point here about reducing self-doubt is to reduce your social media consumption. And I say this because I feel like a lot of our self-doubt is the result of comparing ourselves to others, usually using social media. And social media influences, you know, these personalities we see on social media use all sorts of tricks to grow their following and create this appearance of success, whether it's, you know, paying to hire a jet just to take some photos in, make it look like they're flying around or have this jet, or living in hotels for free in exchange for endorsements and things. It creates this very unrealistic picture of what life is like. And browsing through Facebook and Instagram may seem harmless, but as you can see, like, it often paints a very skewed picture of what life should be like because, and it's not just influencers, you know, your friends, your family, we're all just posting the highlights of our lives, and that's normal. It's no one's fault. Like, we just tend to share the things that are positive and happy. But it does give us this impression that if our life isn't a constant state of euphoria and joy, that something must be wrong because people are only sharing the good stuff. And I think just when you spend less time on social media, you don't compare yourself to others as much, and this means there's less self-doubt about your own accomplishments and your own abilities. And so I just use, like, on my iPhone, there's the screen time feature that came out last year to just make sure I don't spend any more than, like, I think I've got it at an hour a day at the moment on social media. And it's not just social media, actually, and it's comparing yourself to others in general. So me, for example, running an online business, it's very easy for me to look at other people online running online businesses, and I go, wow, they have so many followers, or they have so many subscribers on YouTube, or their podcast is so much bigger than mine, or look at how much money they make. And it's like, wow, why can't I get my business to that point? Why am I not like that person? And it's very dangerous. Because again, that's when the self-doubt creeps in. It's when you become no longer content or happy with where you're at. And so I have to remind myself to look back and go, you know what, actually, remember when you were working that full-time job and you were really unhappy because all you wanted to do was spend your time working on your business? Well, here I am right now. I'm living it. I've got what I wanted. And so that's, I guess, another little side tip I'm literally thinking about on the spot is reflecting back on and looking at where you've come from. That's been very useful to me as well. And finally, my final kind of piece of advice here is to give your head a break. And so to illustrate what I mean here, January, I'm recording this beginning of February now. January was a very busy month for me. I had loads of clients sign up for different projects in December, and they all needed my attention in January because, you know, we had Christmas and New Year, got back, all these projects starting. And as a result, I felt like I was being pulled in like 50 different directions. I felt kind of overwhelmed, and I started to doubt myself. And I was thinking, you know, am I going to be able to get all this work done? Are clients going to get annoyed? Like, do they want this done quicker? Am I really good enough to be doing all this? And you start doubting yourself. I had all these kind of questions floating around my head. And last week, actually, I was taking a walk at lunch. And I'm very fortunate. I work at a co-working space right on the beach. And I was walking along the beach. And I was like, let me sit down and meditate. And I use the Oak Meditation app. Great app. Free meditation app. I don't even think there's any like paid features in it. It's just free, like a really good free meditation app. And anyway, I've always been very up and down when it comes to meditation. I'll usually do a meditation for a while, like a few weeks or a few months, and then I'll kind of get lazy and I'll stop. But last week, it was the first time that I'd meditated for, I would say, a good few months. I really haven't been in a consistent routine for a while. And boy, did it feel good. I would say, you know, after 10 minutes of just focusing on my breath, just not thinking about anything, just sort of stepping back, trying to, in a sense, get out of my head, but also get in my head. I don't know, it's kind of one of those weird things. I was able to open my eyes, and it really did feel like I'd hit the reset button. And I was literally walking back to work, and I felt like I was holding myself differently. I felt myself kind of smiling a bit more, as all this previous doubt had just sort of started to melt away. And I now felt a lot more confident in my abilities. And I was like, yeah, all these projects, now I'm excited. Like, I can get this done. This is going to be awesome. And it just goes to show how easily you can overcome self-doubt when you take just a few minutes to step back and get out of your head. And so something simple like meditation, but it could just be going for a walk, you know, leaving your phone behind, just getting away, getting out of your head to look at things differently and just relax and unwind. It's amazing how a little break can help you out. So There you have it. Those are some of the ideas and experiences that have helped me to overcome this issue of self-doubt. Like I said, I'm really interested to hear your thoughts and feedback. So if you have any stories, experiences, tips that you'd like to share, please head on over to my blog, paulminers.com/116, and let me know in the comments, how do you deal with self-doubt? All right. One more time, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.